Tonight, we break down the week of events surrounding the Vince McMahon controversy. Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns will once again headline a major WWE event. Sasha Banks reportedly gets her release from WWE. We remember two beloved and well-known referees who have passed away. And it's all hands on deck for a special roundtable tonight on Sunday night's main event.
We love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday night's main event.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh in you, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
Hey, it's Mike McGuire welcoming you to Canada's wrestling radio show, Sunday night's main event, on the road still. This time touring the prairies, Melfort, Saskatchewan, where tonight I'll be ring announcing for Best Entertainment Wrestling. We have WWE Hall of Famer, The Godfather, on the card. Such a cool guy. We're going to talk to him and have that for you next week on the show, because this week there's a fair bit to talk about. I don't know if you've heard. And we're doing it thanks to our friends at Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Order online at greatlakesbeer.com. Whether you're hearing us across Canada on TSN Radio or the News Talk and iHeartRadio networks, or you're streaming us through snmeradio.com or your favorite podcast catcher, we want to remind you that we have exclusive bonus shows, extended interviews, and more daily content being added to our Patreon page, which you can get for about a dollar a week at patreon.com/snmeradio. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer has been very busy this week going through some of the stories, so you know we're going to pick everything apart when it comes to Vince, Hush Money, you name it. That's all on the way, but first, let's break down the five biggest wrestling stories of the week with this week's Five Count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
Did Vince McMahon and other WWE officials break the law? You've heard the story by now. Vince McMahon, CEO and founder of WWE, is under investigation by his own board of directors. Now, the alleged $3 million hush money payment that went to a former WWE office employee after what is believed to be a sexual relationship with Vince McMahon and possibly others is the keystone to this investigation. Long and the short of it is, where did the money come from? If it was, in fact, Vince McMahon's personal money, then there was no corporate wrongdoing. But that doesn't take away the morality of this entire situation. There's also a very large salary boost to explain. WWE talent relations executive John Laurinaitis is also a key player in all this. It's uncertain what, if any, disciplinary action will come from this scandal. Meanwhile, Vince McMahon is under scrutiny after using the news of this scandal as a bit of a cheap ratings grab. Shortly after it was announced that Vince was voluntarily stepping down as CEO and chairman of the WWE Board of Directors, the news came out that Vince McMahon would address fans on WWE SmackDown Live later that Friday night. Well, Vince did come out, and this is what he had to say.
It is a privilege, as always, to stand before you here tonight, the WWE Universe. Especially a privilege to stand here in this ring in Minnesota. I'm here simply to remind you of the four words we just saw and what we call the WWE signature. Those four words are then, now, forever, and the most important word is together. Welcome to SmackDown!
Following his about 39-second speech, it was reported that many, both outside and inside of WWE, found Vince's presentation to be tone-deaf and embarrassing. It was also reported beforehand that nobody had any idea what McMahon's plans were before taking the mic. A lot of fans are wondering, what are Sasha Banks or Mercedes Vernado's plans? It was reported that Sasha Banks received her release earlier this week after having her legal team get involved. There's lots of rumors, but nothing has been confirmed or denied by either side. Many wrestlers from companies around the world, including AEW Women's World Champion Thunder Rosa, have offered their thoughts on having matches with the former Sasha Banks, if she is in fact available. We want to send condolences today to the families of two well-known WWE officials. Former WWE referees Dave Hebner and Tim White passed away earlier this week. In fact, the news of Tim White just dropped earlier this afternoon. Now, you might remember Tim White from his many roles in WWE, as well as stories of him touring around with Andre the Giant. We're going to talk to Dave Meltzer more about that. And Dave Hebner and his brother Earl Hebner became globally known after a twin referee angle played out on Saturday night's main event back in the 80s when the evil referee helped Andre the Giant defeat Hulk Hogan to win and then sell the WWF Championship to the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Again, our condolences to both the Hebner and White families. And we normally don't talk about TV ratings that much, but this was a big hit for AEW. They had a major strike. Dynamite was down over 200,000 viewers from the week prior and only slightly above last year's numbers, which were running against the NBA Finals. There was no NBA game this week, but there was also no CM Punk, no Bryan Danielson, no MJF. A lot of fresh faces are also coming in thanks to the Forbidden Door buildup and what some are saying was a critical dip in star power. Okay, we're going to figure all this stuff out. By no means are we saying the sky is falling, but there's a lot to look at this week in wrestling. So we're going to get to it with the Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer next on Sunday Night's Main Event. No chance, so that's what you got. Up against a machine too strong. Pretty politicians buying souls for Russell puppets.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Only when light is combined with the dark is the universe perfect and complete. Like a hypnotizing drumbeat heard deep within the swampy shores, a bubbling kettle brews. She engages your spirit, sending ripples across the surface of your soul. Allow her sacred science and divine state of consciousness to unveil your contact point toward complete clarity. Cosmically grounded, she is all at once every element, fueling the nectar of your memory, drip by velvety drip. Ascending from the mist, Haze Mama breaks imbalance while granting an alternative perception, otherwise unavailable, unless by virtue of her wondrous alchemy. Shh. Haze Mama New England IPA, available year-round for only $3.50. Great Lakes, brewed for you, Ontario.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
I just asked you this off the air. Do I have to call you Mr. CNN now, Dave?
I don't know about that. yeah, that was only, it was only 40 seconds.
Well, you and Vince were tied for time then, as far as appearing on national television this week.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
We have to go there. Obviously, everything shakes down. We'll get to the SmackDown part in a minute. We've kind of caught everybody up to speed throughout the week. I think everybody kind of knows the story. And if you're just tuning in now and you're listening to us on terrestrial radio, you don't follow wrestling. The biggest story is that Vince McMahon, CEO, founder, president, owner, you call it whatever you want, Mr. WWE, is now under investigation by his own company's board of directors due to non-disclosure agreements that were discovered involving him, other executives. There's a $3 million hush money payment that they're trying to figure out if it's his money or if it was company money.
Which it was definitely his money. Well, that was his money.
Yeah, because Jerry McDevitt, his lawyer, said that, right? So
the $3 million was his money. The hush money in the NDAs was his money. The question is
the salary. You know, like
the salary. Then that's a big one. The salary is that's a real big one. You know, the idea that someone got double their salary while they were sleeping with Vince.
So again, to catch people up that don't know, this paralegal apparently who worked in the office, again, had this consensual affair with Vince McMahon, allegedly. After that affair began, the speculation right now is that this person had a bump from a $100,000 salary to a $200,000 salary. Now, I've gotten raises before. I've never gotten a raise that good before. If this turns out to be true, how much trouble is Vince really in?
That's so hard to say, because right? I think for the good of the company and the stock price and things like that, they don't want to lose Vince. But at the same time, they have an investigation. And if it shows wrongdoing, they are, you know, a public company with a board of directors. So it's a really interesting thing. I mean, obviously, him stepping down as CEO and chairman temporarily and putting his daughter in, which was very interesting because she just left the company a month ago. And now she's CEO, which is just, I mean, it's not mind-boggling now. Mm-hmm. The morning when it happened and I woke up and I saw that, it's like, whoa. I mean, now it all fits together once you talk to people and it's just kind of like, yeah, remember with the steroid trial, Linda was made president. In fact, everything is exactly the same, same playbook. So it's not a surprise now thinking about it. But, you know, I mean, the weirdness, of course, of Stephanie being buried on the way out. And now all of a sudden she's chairwoman of the board and CEO of the company. What's the next twist?
Well, and again, so to update everybody, Stephanie McMahon, Vince's daughter, who had been in branding, taken a leave of absence. She wasn't gone from the company, but she had taken a leave. And basically we thought, OK, she'll be back later. But like you said, when this all unfurled it's like watching Game of Thrones and seeing the whole thing just come together.
But you know then when they buried her, which was only a couple of weeks ago, I thought she might not be back. I mean, it was certainly, I mean, it was like they had kicked her, you know, like she left on her own and she did leave on her own, no matter what anyone says. But then that Business Insider story, and it was obviously planted by WWE, you know, it was just like, oh, you know, she didn't leave on her own. Vince made the call. You know, the idea that, you know, trying to present that she wasn't good at her job and now she's chairwoman of the board, which is such a contradiction. It's an amazing couple of weeks. But then, you know, when this happens, everything changes. You know, you just, you know, I mean, Vince wants someone he trusts there and there's nobody he's going to trust in the company more than Stephanie.
I guess what we're trying to disseminate, and some of the SNME hosts and I are going to sit down and talk about this in a bit. Financially, there's definitely a question mark.
But then here's another one. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and I've actually tried to ask around a little bit, what the going rate for super rich guys paying off mistresses to go away is. But from the people who I've talked to about that, with people who are richer than Vince and had much bigger companies than Vince, it's much less than $3 million. And that's a real interesting number.
Wow.
You know, the $3 million, it's like, yeah, okay, Vince is super rich and he can pay it, but that's a lot of money. I mean, it really is. That is an incredible amount of money to pay, you know, so what does she know?
Financially is where Vince could probably get in the most trouble because it is a business dealing. Do you know if even with his own company, he would fall under any morality obligation?
Oh, in his contract, there's a morality obligation, but I don't think that having an affair is going to be the breaking point or anything like that. I don't say everyone does, but that's not going to be it. The giving someone a raise, if that's the reason they got a raise, that could be it. But there's absolutely a morality clause in his contract. Yes. Yes. You know, one of the things is like for the board of directors and everything, I'm going to say that they would bend over backwards to not get rid of Vince McMahon for all kinds of reasons right now. There's a way that he's out. It's because there was no other option, because that would be the last resort. They don't want to do it, but they may have to, depending on what, you know, the investigative firm, which is no joke. I mean, that investigative firm that's looking at him is very, very thorough. And, you know, I mean,
so as this investigation goes on, Vince has stepped down. Do you think there's a chance that he's in Stephanie's ear or Stephanie is reporting back to him at any time?
100%. 100%. 100%. I mean, there's not even a doubt in my mind that, you know, it's the same with Linda. You know, it's like the company didn't change when Linda McMahon was made president instead of Vince McMahon. It was the exact same company. Company's not going to change with Stephanie McMahon in that spot. Vince is still head of creative. If Vince was gone, you know, it'd be one thing. But he's not. If they had hired somebody from the outside for that position, I'd have a very different view, but they didn't. And I think that's, you know, and the fact that Stephanie came back under these circumstances sort of tells me, you know, all of a sudden, you know, she wanted to leave and now all of a sudden she's back. Although she may, from a family standpoint and from a, you know, just loyalty to the company standpoint, she may have found it to where I have to do this. You know what I mean? Right. It's like duty. You know, you have your, you know, things are bad for my company and my father. It's not what I want right now out of life. I had planned something different, but, you know, life takes you out of your control sometimes, and this may be it. And that's probably where Stephanie stands right now.
Do we even know a timeline of how long this investigation could take?
No, no.
Yeah.
No. Don't know anything like that.
Either way, we're going to be talking about this for weeks, if not months. I'm sure it'll keep popping up. I want to shift gears now. We just got breaking news earlier today. Referee Tim White has passed away. This is after a former referee and WWE official Dave Hebner also passed away this week.
They were both around for a long, long time in the company. when I remember when Tim White was let go, I was stunned. You know, Tim White, one of his original jobs, and everyone knows this, was he was the handler of Andre the Giant after, I don't know if it was Skoland or Frank Belvoir or who it was, but, you know, in that period, you know, he was very, very close with Andre, you know, owned the bar, the Friendly Tap that they used in angles a couple of times.
Yep.
It stunned me because Tim White was always very well liked. I never really heard anything bad about Tim White. And of course, Dave, the Hebner twins, you know, referees, agent, Montreal screw job story, you know, drove the getaway car, fired by WWE, ended very bitter. Very, very bitter about the firing from WWE.
Well, that was a weird deal. Didn't they get caught with some merchandising thing or something?
The idea is that they took merchandise from the house shows and then diverted it to their shop in St. Louis.
Okay.
Which they've always denied. They've always said, you know, why would we jeopardize our job over $12 t-shirts?
Right.
But they were fired over it. And then, you know, but both of them always denied it. And they, you know, both ended up, you know, he ended up promoting with Hermie Sadler a lot of TNA shows. And he'd had health problems. Tim, I had not heard of any health problems with Tim. So, you know, so that came as a real shock to me this morning.
Any confirmation? Has Sasha Banks been released or not?
As far as I know, the only thing that I have been told is that they're negotiating it right now.
Okay.
I don't know that the negotiation is final. I know that it's been written that it is. The last I asked, which would have been 2 days ago, it was not final, but it wouldn't shock me if it happened this week. Is okay. Kind of like how it was described to me a couple of days ago. So where it is at this moment, I don't know.
Oh, I think it was Del Rio, wasn't it? Where they had to negotiate his release and they had to both put out non-disparaging statements about each other afterwards. Do you see something like that maybe coming out?
100%. 100%. Yeah. I'm sure that there'll be a thing where she can't go and blast them and they can't blast her either, which, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's people who would love to blast her about walking out and everything, but it's and, you know, if they do that, it'd be a two-way street, because I don't think they want her complaining about, you know, who knows what, if there is anything. And I don't know that there is, but if there is, this is not the week that they want someone going and blasting them for that. No way.
But it still seems like she was usually pretty happy there until she didn't agree with the booking. But I guess we don't know until we know. Right. And if they ever decide to come out with it, then that's when we'll find out. This is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio across Canada, snmeradio.com, and in your favorite podcast catcher, wherever you are downloading us. Thank you so much for doing that. Shifting over to AEW, the ratings from last week were down over 200,000. We're missing a lot of stars right now, and we're also adding a lot of unfamiliar faces. Do you think that this is a detriment to... You know, the Forbidden Door show is something that the hardcore fans are looking forward to. We know the show is sold out, but as far as the mainstream goes, do you think they're risking losing fans on this?
I don't think that they're risking losing fans. And I don't want to overreact to a rating, but I certainly don't want to pretend it didn't happen either. You know, because ratings are about trends. One show, WWE on Memorial Day did a terrible number, you know, by their standards. I mean, still first. But then again, and I'm going to go like, look, this was a terrible number, without a doubt. But they were also tied for first for the night on cable. So, you know, like from a TNT standpoint or TBS standpoint, Warner Media standpoint, it's like we had the number one show on Wednesday night. It beat everything else. For whatever reason, people watching television, the number of people watching TV on Wednesday was way, way down. But, and, you know, first is first. But yeah, I looked at that and it's like I'm pretty good at having a gauge on where the ratings are going to be. And this one floored me. Like I was predicting a 0.37, they did a 0.28. I'm not usually wrong to that degree. And, you know, some of it, obviously, you know, and also like they were doing good against the NBA the week before. So it's a 1 week thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to like, it's like, oh, if things were so terrible, you'd see a pattern. But look, if they have another couple of weeks and they're like this, it's like, we got to address the situation. I mean, when I looked at the quarters and everything, I mean, the big concern was the ladder match. And I think that tells you that they've hotshotted certain types of matches. I mean, I was very confident that 2 weeks from now, a week and a half from now, that the Blood and Guts show would do a real big number. And now when you see this, you go like, I'm not so sure what's going to happen with Blood and Guts, especially because Blood and Guts is guaranteed blood show, which is good for some people, but it's also bad for others. So it's like, you know, that ladder match, you know, again, just the spectacle nature of it. And it was a fantastic match. It should have done much better. The hair versus hair should have done much better. So there's like, I'm looking at it. There is something. But again, if next week is back around normal, we'll just go like, what a weird night. But
yeah, well, ratings anomalies are a thing. Any radio program director will definitely tell you that too. But you know,
it's
there
news.
Can be glitches, right?
Yeah, it's news though. And is it possible? I mean, look, the fact that they don't have Punk, they don't have MJF, they don't have Bryan Danielson, they don't have Kenny Omega. Does that, or, you know, they didn't have Sting, although he came back later that night off on for Rampage. You know, when you look at so many of those top guys not being around, you know, we're real key guys, is that part of it? Yeah, of course it is.
Well, there you have it. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer giving us some of the breakdown of yet another crazy week. Ever since I came here in January, man, it seems we've had nothing but just chaos to talk about every week in pro wrestling, and it continues on. But Dave, for those that want to check out the latest edition of the newsletter, what can people read about right now?
Yeah, just go to www.wrestlingobserver.com. We probably got about as detailed a story on what happened with Vince, with Jeff Hardy, which was another show we didn't even get into this week.
Oh, yeah. Holy. Well, we'll have to talk about it next week because there's just too much. But yeah.
Yeah. Forbidden Door, the WWE, everything. It's a 40,000 word plus issue, as most weeks are. This was one of the biggest. And again, the Vince story. We got a lot of details on the Vince story that we didn't get into here. And the Vince story has the potential to be one of the biggest wrestling stories of the last couple of decades.
There you have it. You heard it from the man himself. And he's done a lot of stories. Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer, WrestlingObserver.com. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much.
Coming up, Matthew Ederer, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, Joe Aguinaldo, and I, we all sit down and talk more about the Vince McMahon situation here on Sunday night's Main Event.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Hey, yo,
this is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
It's Mike McGuire here. Of course, we're talking all about this crazy Vince McMahon, John Laurinaitis scandal coming out of WWE. Dave Meltzer just gave us a lot of detail behind the scenes. But now, here to talk about it more from the fan and, dare I say, observer point of view, not the Wrestling Observer, so to speak, but members of our SNME Radio podcast family. Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't start with the living legend himself, Dan the Mouth and Haircut Lavransky.
Woo! Once a year, whether I need it or not, man. Once a year, got to do it, especially in the summer. I can't handle the Brody look in the summer. Too hot.
Well, getting you covered there is the guy that refuses to ever see scissors or a clipper again.
Exactly.
And Matt Ederer.
Not since the pandemic, baby.
And then the pleasantly groomed Joe Aguinaldo. So we have three of our many podcasters here. And of course, Mouth, the OG voice of SNME Radio. Now, fellas, whether you've been following WWE or not, we all are wrestling fans because we've watched WWE at some point in our lives. A lot of us either grew up with it or were around when it was around. Seeing the development that Vince McMahon took it out of the dark arenas, as he likes to say, into the big forefront. And it's a $1 billion corporation, a multi-billion-dollar corporation, if you want to go that far. It's a media company. It's a publicly traded company. But besides all that, was this news of the scandal surprising to you? We'll start with you, Mel.
Oh, no. I have to say it's not surprising to me in the slightest. I mean, the guy has had his fingers in everything to mix my metaphors. But he's I'm not surprised at all. There's so much stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And McMahon is just that type of guy. I mean, him and Linda are still legally married, but they haven't lived together in years. And he's been like this forever. He's always been a little on the promiscuous side. So the fact that he's caught up in something like that and had to pay someone off to keep quiet does not surprise me in the slightest.
How about you, Matt?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Mouth. Like, surprising? No, maybe it's just the fact that it's like so openly still happening at this stage in the game is a little surprising. But if you look at the man and his history, you can't be shocked too badly, right?
Jack to Joe Aguinaldo.
I'm not surprised. What I am surprised about, though, is that it took this long for something to come out. You would have expected maybe something coming out sooner. But ultimately, I agree with both Mouth and Matt that not really surprising when this came out.
He did call himself the genetic jackhammer for years, okay. Right?
Yeah.
So not a big surprise.
To be fair, and this is where we have to draw a bit of a line, and I think we do have to acknowledge it a bit, that TV Vince McMahon was still a character for the longest time. A lot of what we saw on TV, whether it was true to form or not, whether it was, you know, an amplified version of himself or not, was a TV character. Now, on that side of it, we also know that Vince McMahon is a control freak. He's a power guy. This is what everybody who's ever worked with him has said. We've always heard the rumor about the sneezing. He hates it because it's something he can't control. So when it comes down to this part of him now stepping down as CEO and chairman of the WWE Board of Directors, this is clearly something that had to have been suggested by WWE's legal, by corporate, by everyone else. Nick Khan probably had to sit down and talk to him and say, look, this is the safest play we can make right now. Are any of you surprised that he actually did it? He voluntarily stepped down as CEO and chairman. This time we'll go in reverse. Joe, we'll start with you.
Like, he stepped down, but I think it took a lot of convincing from somebody. Had this been stock exchange, pre-public WWE, I don't think he would have stepped down. But I think in 2022, publicly traded company, $5 billion company, I think he had to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much it matters, right? Like, the reports are that he's still doing basically the same job, going to work. It's not like he's left at all. It's not like much has changed at all, as far as I understand it. So I'm not really surprised that they did what is probably just kind of like a figurehead move to kind of appease people, right? I don't know. It doesn't seem that surprising to me. If he were to actually step away and change his role at all, that would be surprising, but I don't think that's happened.
Well, to us, what we see in here hasn't changed as far as creative goes, as far as what makes it on the screen, but we don't know what happens behind the scenes. Let's face it. I mean, no matter who's in power for the head of a company, for the head of a country, there's things that we see as public, as viewers, as consumers, but then we don't know how much he's involved in day-to-day business. So maybe there is a bunch of change. We don't know there. But Mouth, when it comes to you, you've been following Vince McMahon for a long time as well, voluntarily stepping down as CEO and chairman. Do you think this was an easy conversation for them to have, or was this like, is this what I really have to do? You know?
I think with him, I think at this stage of the game, I think maybe a younger Vince McMahon would have had a little bit of more piss and vinegar in this year. But I think at this stage of the game, he realizes what needs to be done. He realizes now that for him, he's always wanted to be more than a wrestling company, right? He's wanted to be like an entertainment conglomerate. So if that's how he sees it, I'm sure. And plus, this is also standard procedure in these type of situations to get the person involved away from the main source and separate them from the product. So I'm not surprised. And I'm also not surprised that he's still going to be in charge of creative because he's not giving that. He's not giving that up until he's in the grave. It seems like even a scandal like this will not pull him away from the creative reins. So I'm not surprised. And I don't think it would have been the hard conversation this time. I think if this had been, back like when the steroid stuff was going on, that was much harder, tougher McMahon. I think at this stage, he kind of realizes where he is and what he has to do to kind of make this kind of go away.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. Mike McGuire here along with Dan the Mouth Lavransky, Joe Aguinaldo, and Matt Ederer. Okay, Matt, we're going to start with you this time. The investigation by the board is happening right now. What they're looking to find out, and they'll have to answer to. They're using an independent law firm on this. They're answering to find out whether or not the payout money for the what was reportedly a consensual intimate relationship with a former WWE employee was paid off with an NDA of $3 million. They need to find out whether this $3 million was in fact company money or if it was Vince McMahon's personal money. Jerry McDevitt has said it was personal money. However, there's also the fact that this employee allegedly received a doubling of their salary once the relationship began. So, Matt, when this all shakes down, do you think that Vince McMahon himself is going to end up in any serious trouble, maybe even to the point that he has to step down permanently?
I'll believe that when I see it. This is honestly probably the first time since I've been a conscious wrestling fan. I was a little young for the steroid scandal, and the Owen Hart thing and the Chris Benoit thing, he just completely dodged like Teflon. This is the first one in my life that it's like, man, this actually may be the end of Vince McMahon in wrestling. Could you imagine? But I'll believe it when I see it. Do I think it's going to actually happen? No, honestly, I don't. I think he'll continue to be here until he passes away or leaves on his own accord. And that won't be because of this.
When you put it that way, the penalties, we don't know. We don't know what the penalties are for if it's discovered to be fraud, if it's discovered to be company money. We don't know what could be thrown at him yet because there's been no charges. However, when you throw it in context like that, Joe, I want to throw it to you now. When you throw it in context to Owen Hart, to Chris Benoit, to the steroid scandal, is this really that big of a deal compared to those things?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not making light of this situation, but compared to, you know, the Owen Benoit where, you know, people actually like true tragedies, you know, steroids where Vince was actually facing, you know, jail time. This in comparison, it doesn't, I don't think it's as big of a deal, for lack of a better term. And to sort of back up what Matt said, I honestly, like, I won't believe, I don't see Vince getting in trouble until I see it. And I think the other part of that is the way that they've structured, you know, and most companies do this, the way they've structured that their hierarchy, I think there are people that are going to take the fall before Vince does.
Now, Mouth, this is four guys sitting here talking about a guy being inappropriate in the workplace. Let's face it here. From the women's perspective, we can't offer that, although we always welcome it through our social media, facebook.com/SNME Radio. Look up Sunday Night's Main Event. But we're going to talk about this more with some female performers in the next coming weeks as well. The question is, once you compare this to those things, things like equality are really mattering now. And it should. We're hearing constantly that the old boys club, that way of doing things, isn't appropriate anymore. Do you think that possibly a decision could be made, if charges are filed, a decision could be made on a moral basis rather than a financial one?
Wow. That's a very good question. It is different times. Absolutely. You know, many, many people have been called out. The Me Too movement has made these things blatantly obvious. They're out in the open now. I think it all hinges really on how they figure out this plays out with the money thing. I really think if it was the corporation's money and that, then it's going to be based all on the financial stuff. He's going to be out of there, I think, or at least out of any kind of corporate position. He may be able to wrangle himself so he's still in creative. But if it comes out where he paid the money himself, and, you know, coming off what Joe said, with much heavier tragedies and stuff like this, I don't think the moral situation of paying someone off, I don't know if that's enough to really get him out of there, even in this day and age. It's a really tough one with him. It's not, you know, it's not, I mean, although we don't know, I guess, as much. And certainly when Harvey Weinstein and those type of things broke, we learned more and more and more and more and more as the situation went on. So who knows? There could be more to come out of all of this. But at this time, I don't know. If it was his money, I see it being a hard time getting him out of there.
Right at the beginning of when you were describing the situation, you said one word, consensual. So if this was in fact consensual, and again, I'm not saying it was or wasn't, then really what we're talking about is, how did they pay this quote unquote hush money. Vince might get a slap on the wrist because he used corporate funds to pay for this. But at the end of the day, I can't see him taking the fall for this. I still think it's going to be somebody else.
Matt, when it comes down to it, Vince McMahon, who still has 80% voting rights in company decisions, do you see him facing any serious consequences if he's even found to have spent company money?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be very hard to prove company money. And it's like Joe said, as long as this is like an up and up consensual relationship. And there's obviously a huge power dynamic too. And who knows how this is all going to play out. Like Mouth said, more things could come out. They found evidence of more non-disclosure agreements, right? In the past, the board has already. So who knows what all that could mean. But as the facts are right now, from what we know, I would be shocked if it wasn't business as usual for Vince McMahon in not too long from now.
The most interesting thing in all of this is, like, you know, we're sitting here. Do we think he's going to get in trouble? I think the question is, does Vince McMahon think he's going to get in trouble? And I think putting himself on SmackDown the way he did, to me, that was, as much as it might have been the right thing to do in the situation in terms of public performance and putting it out there, I still think the fact that he showed up on SmackDown, I don't think he's worried. I really don't think he's worried.
But Mouth, he didn't put it out there. He came out, said, "Hey, there's four words in our signature. Welcome to SmackDown," and took off. Like, he didn't talk about it at all.
But it was a total baby face. Like, this was totally, "Hey, man, I'm Vince McMahon, and I don't care what you guys think at the moment. I'm out here."
Yeah,
and
it was a hero's parade.
I'm the public, but that's what I mean. Yeah. It's like, the fact that he went out there and did this, like, friggin' MacArthur coming back after World War II, it's like, he's not worried. This guy is not worried. I don't really think he's worried.
Also, he didn't just throw the microphone. He bat flipped the microphone like Jose Batista. It wasn't just what he said. It was how he said it. He was so confident. He was Vince McMahon.
Well, and when it comes down to it, I'll close with this. On that moment, on that 41 seconds that we played earlier in the show, is that going to be Vince McMahon's George W. Bush mission accomplished banner moment? And what I'm saying is, he thinks it's over before it's even started. He's celebrating before it's even began. Do you think this is going to come back to haunt him?
I agree with what all of you guys are saying, that was a sort of, you know, screw you in a very subtle way. But at this point, until we get more information, I can't judge either way.
I would just say, based on the past, and like, again, like Joe already brought up, the fact that there were much more horrendous, hideous things happening under his watch than this, you know, with stuff like Benoit and Owen Hart. Those things are much worse than any of this.
That's extremely well put. The George W. Bush metaphor was right on point. If something happens, but again, man, he's Vince McMahon. He's Teflon. He was out there strutting to the ring on SmackDown the day this stuff broke. So I'll believe it when I see it. And that's just that.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. I'm Mike McGuire with Joe Aguinaldo, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, and Matt Ederer. We've been talking all about the Vince McMahon scandal, and it continues to roll on. Of course, we'll have updates as we go on. But we got a little more of Sunday Night's Main Event on the way.
Chat wrestling all week long by joining the Sunday Night's Main Event group on Facebook. Just search SNME Radio. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is you?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you want to go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down.
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right.
We'll have a house party. We don't need no party.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Welcome back to the show. It's Mike McGuire here with a full house, so to speak. A lot of the SNME radio family panel here with Joe Aguinaldo and Dan the Mouth Lavransky. You can hear them, by the way, if you're a Patreon member, patreon.com/SNME radio. Every week, they do our weekly AEW Dynamite review. And fellas, I just wanted to hear from you this past week. You know, Dynamite, we talked about earlier, had a huge ratings dip with a lack of star power and a lot of new faces that a lot of North America doesn't recognize off the hop. Are they in trouble right now, or do you think they can bounce back from this?
Well, I don't think they're in trouble, Mike, but they do really. They've got to educate the fans. They've got to do, like, you're having all these, and I realize quick turnover from the last pay-per-view. We've only got a month to set up the Forbidden Door show. But, man, make some vignettes, put together some footage, educate the fans. Like, Jericho comes out, cuts that promo this week. He mentioned somebody. I didn't even know who he was talking about.
And you know everybody in Japan. Like, you've been following
Japanese wrestling forever. Exactly. Yeah. Right? I'm watching it all the time. So I was like, you got to put those vignettes together. You've got to really big chunks of Dynamite the next few weeks should be educating us about these guys and who they are and what the challenge is, because sure, you have your hardcore audience that's watching, but you also have new eyes on it. As we've said, even 3 years in, there's going to be still new eyes on it. You got to introduce who these people are, and even some hardcores are not going to know who all these guys are. So I don't think they're the ship is sinking or anything, but I do think they got to work. Yeah, that's been kind of an issue since day one. It's something Joe and I always talk about. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine. I sense that we've hit a bit of a nerve here. So, Joe, we'll let you voice in on this as well. You watch the show. You've also watched Rampage. I know you're not doing the podcast, so to speak, but when you watch Rampage, especially you and Matt, I just actually listened to you guys the other day do the Rampage Ramble. Is it still easy for you to follow right now, or is it getting a little muddy?
You know what? To Dan's point, like I would say that I'm a, let's say, more than average fan. And there have been times during this Forbidden Door build that even I'm like, wow, this is hard. This is too hardcore for me. So like, I think, you know, to Dan's point, AEW does need to do a bit of a better job introducing their product, not just this Forbidden Door thing, just their product in general to the quote unquote casual fan. Because like, you know, if they had dropped from, I think they did like 969 last week or something like that, and they did like 722 this week. That is a massive, you know, drop in viewership, you know, even with summer and the Stanley Cup playoffs and all that kind of stuff. Like that is huge. And to me, that's the viewers saying, you know, hey guys, we're not digging what's going on here. I'm not saying that the ship is sinking by any stretch of the imagination, but I think, you know, Tony Khan needs to look at that number and go, okay, maybe I need to be a bit better at, you know, at pushing my product.
Well, in some markets, I'm sure reruns of The Office are doing better than the National Hockey League playoffs in the U.S. But on that note, Matt, you've been on the other side of the fence here. You've been paying a lot of attention to NXT lately. Let us know, how are things been going over there? Because I hear good things as of late, and I know that for the longest time, you and Boris were kind of arduously going through these shows, but you guys actually have some fun things to talk about lately.
Yeah, the kidnappings on NXT are down to zero, which is nice. There were weekly crimes being committed on the show, but it's kind of becoming sane again, a wrestling show. The last episode was taped, and they focused heavily on video packages. And WWE has always been so fabulous at creating these video packages. It's 2022. They have so much material. They were telling us about Lash Legend's WNBA background, and they were telling us about Nathan Frazier, the former Ben Carter, who's just an incredible athlete, beach bum from Europe. And it's just like, they're actually focusing on performer strengths, and they're editing the show a lot. And it's the last couple of weeks have been good. So who knows how long it'll last, but it feels like 2.0 is on the come up, which is very nice.
Well, and to that point, we want to invite you to check out all these podcasts again, NXT Talk with Matt Ederer and Boris Aguilar. You guys also do the BAM podcast weekly, where you got to talk about sports, wrestling, and a bunch more. And of course, Dan, you've got the lunch party, the music lunch. Well, sorry, I keep screwing up the name of this thing, but I love listening to it, man, because you pick the weirdest tunes.
Oh, well, that's it. That's the fun, right? For me, it's all about the digging and finding the stuff that slipped through the cracks. So, yeah, Dr. Mouse Rock and Roll Lunch Party. Always, always going to serve you up some. There'll be bands in there you'll know as well. But then, yeah, there'll also be weird little things like a song some guy wrote in 1962 about Bobo Brazil or something like that. There's always some weird little gem in there for sure.
And Joe Aguinaldo, when he's not podcasting, he's just lifting heavy stuff. So
at work and at home, by the way. Yes, both there places. You go. Yes.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you all for being here today. And if you're out there listening, if you would consider supporting us, Merry Band of Bandits, for as little as about $1 a week, basically $5 a month or so is what it works out to. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. We appreciate that. You get to hear all these voices and a lot more. Until next time, gentlemen, thank you. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you
Nobody
very much.
Responds? For- okay.
Thank you very much for having us, Mike. It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure to show up on the mothership.
Absolutely. Take care of yourself.
Now they won't shut up. All right. Until next time, thanks for listening and let us do what we do. Play safe, drive safe. Happy seeing you,
brother.
Oh, I love it.
Thanks for finding Sunday Night's Main Event. To get the complete show as well as bonus weekly podcasts, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/SNME Radio.